for just a few others still to gather, and some of our children's workers as well. If you could try and fill up the front seats as well, and we'll not have another back row formed. It's all the young ones at the back. All right, that's it. Well, 304, we'll just sing a few hymns as others are gathering in. 304, just remain seated and we'll sing verses 1 and 2 of the hymn 304. We're never, never weary of the grand old song. And the chorus goes, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. So if you're in a bad mood, you can shout. No, you can't. It's a sanctified shout. It's a shout of hallelujah, glory, praise the Lord. That's the type of shouting we're talking about. We're not talking about shouting at your wife or your children, or shouting at your neighbour over the fence because their trees are growing over into your garden. It's a shout of sanctification. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. So we have a right to do that. And outside of that, then it's prohibited. So keep that in mind. 304 for those that are gathering. And we remain seated. Verses 1 and 2. Singing our very best. That's just started to warm up. I still feel there's more volume. I feel there's more energy. You've had your Weetabix this morning. And for those who are a little bit older, your porridge. We'll talk about the young ones for that one. But 334, it was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day. Now, you cannot sing a hymn like this. It was down at the feet of Jesus with a sad face. And then sing, oh, the happy, happy day. If I was to have a forward-facing camera and we were to project your congregation onto the screen and you were singing those words, oh, the happy, happy day. You know, we do have a right to shout and sing. And it was down at the feet of Jesus, oh, the happy, happy day, that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins, greatest privilege in the world, my sins were washed away. We'll sing the first and the last. It was down at the feet of Jesus.
Was down at the feet of Jesus, oh, the happy, happy day, that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. Let me tell thee all the story of his grace so full and free. For I feel like giving him the glory for his wondrous love to me. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I brought my guilt and sin, that he cancelled my transgressions, and salvation entered in. Let me tell thee all the story of his grace.
Favorite hymn, but I'm not going to give it to you unless you can give me one very quickly. From this side, if you have a favorite, if not, we'll go to this side. If not, then we'll sing mine. Okay, we'll go to this side.
195.
Was that David Gilmour? Aye, right. You get what verse do you want to sing in your own there, David? About 9:30, we'll have you singing. Just as we're leaving. Any verses in particular you want us to sing there, David?
Them all.
Right, we'll sing. All right, we'll sing verses 1 and... what? Verses 1 and 3. First and last again. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Appreciate that. Over here we have a favourite 301. Is that Standing on the Promises? Is that very good? Okay, well, Alan, what do you think?
1 and 3.
We're standing on the promises, but we're sitting to sing. Okay, so keep that in mind. Standing on the promises of God. Verses 1 and 3. Good singing, 408, and we'll make this the opening praise. We'll stand together as we sing this great hymn. It's 408. It is not the one that the Titanic went down with, by the way. I think it's just across from it. We're on 408. I think it's maybe 407, Nearer My God to Thee. So we're not going to sing that, and we're going to sing 408. I did preach on two occasions on the Titanic, and I was told the sermon went down very well. No, right enough it did. I preached on the anniversaries of it, so, and that's what really the wee joke came out of it. That went down well, Thomas. So I don't know what to take out of that. Does it mean it's sunk and never to be raised again, that message? I take it that's what it was meant. But 408, and we really want to use this as a prayer. It is the prayer of a child of God who desires to be as close to the Lord as possible. Nearer, and think of it, nearer. And then there's that other experience, still nearer. Even when you think you've got close to the Lord, I want to tell you there's still that nearer walk with God, closer, nearer, that's good, still nearer, even closer. That's how close we want to get to the Lord. Draw me, my Saviour, so precious thou art. Everything has to go, and as the text here in front of us says, he has to be precious, and when he's precious, then we want to be nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. We'll stand together as we worship. We'll sing all of the hymn, please. We'll have this side on the fourth. So singing your very best.
Thank you.
Folks, if it is too warm, I see someone's opened the door, so that's a bit of wisdom and common sense, by the way. Appreciate that. It comes from one of the Watsons, and they never wear coats or jumpers, summer, winter, you name it. So did you close that, Margaret, or open it? Did you open it? I thought you'd close it there. I made a big mistake. I asked two men, was it warm enough? And they're sitting with their coats on. But one's just taking it off and the other's sitting with a padded coat on. So I shouldn't ask the polar bear and the grizzly bear there, were they warm enough? But I should have spoken to Adele and Julie, who had just actually taken their jackets off. If it is too warm, folks, we don't want you going to sleep now. And it's so easy. No matter, there's the coat coming off. So get the windows open. But we don't want you freezing neither, okay? So we want you comfortable. And that's how we want you in the house of the Lord. But we're glad to see you all, and we warmly welcome you all in our Saviour's wonderful name, and also to those that are joining with us on the online ministry, whatever social media platform you're working from tonight, whether it's Sermon Audio, Facebook or YouTube, we want to warmly welcome you. And wherever you are, and what time of the morning, afternoon or night it is, we want to thank you for joining with us. We appreciate the online ministry and the community that's out there that do tune in. And we pray God's richest blessing upon you and your family needs. So we're delighted to see you all, and we want to thank you for joining with us. We'll give a very special welcome in a moment or two to Jason and Danielle. Let's just bow briefly in prayer. Just for the record, should we say, just to set it right, for we weren't sure of times and what way the house would have been for the bereavement for Aunt Campbell. But the house is private, and the funeral service tomorrow will be a private service just at the home. But there is a public service at Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church graveyard at 12 noon. And if you would like to get along to that service, if you're able, that is. And if not, if you would like Anne's address, or you'd like even Alison Strain's address or whatever, we can furnish you with those addresses, and you can send a card just of sympathy and support. It goes a long way, and it's a tremendous ministry. And I think the more people do it, the better. And it's just amazing when you go to visit families who, after a bereavement, they have all these cards, and then they say, you know, is that someone out of the church? Who's that? And then you explain who they are, and you just don't know what that means to those families. And it's a tremendous ministry. So easy just to sit at home and write a card, and then just send it. We'll furnish you with the address. Or if you do see them in the house of God on the Lord's Day, just pass the card on to them. It means so much. It's very thoughtful, caring, and we trust the Lord will comfort those who mourn. So do remember the Strain and the McKnight and the Macken families in prayer, and also the Clark and Campbell family circles and the Sloan family circles also. We don't want to forget about Jonathan Jordan and Claire and their little daughter Emily and the loss of the little child, Matthew. So do remember these individuals. Our sister Margaret Shanks as well. She is a niece of the late Sheila and Margaret and Robert that need our prayers. So do remember these individuals, please. The Reverend Gordon Dean, as you know, had the accident. He's now in hospital, but he has taken E. coli, and he is very, very sick. He's a lot of ribs broken. I think his shoulder has been broken as well. And there's bruises. And it's bad enough being in hospital with those things, but now to take E. coli and then to be violently sick with it. So there'll be no visitation from ministerial colleagues probably till away to the end of the week. And he'll be in for a while. He'll have a full recovery. We trust the Lord will undertake for him and draw near. You could remember some on the list. We did remember John Hill's young fella, Andrew, who had an accident, and also Yasmin, that young girl that we said we'd pray for. Just remember these individuals, please, in your prayers. And then there's Leighton, and there's Mark, and there's Christine. Now, Christine is Jean Gladwell's younger sister, and we're glad to report that Christine got saved last week, and we thank the Lord for that. We trust the Lord will just comfort in these days. So I think that's all by way of prayer requests. There may be some others that you want to add to the list later on, but we'll come to the season of prayer later after the deputation. Father in heaven, it is with thanksgiving and praise that we continue in thy presence. Lord, we've been before thee today. We believe, Lord, that those gathered and some listening online as well have drawn near to thee, Lord. They have met with thee around the pages of thy holy word. They have sought thee at the throne of heavenly grace, Lord. And even though some have rubbed shoulders with the world today, some, O God, in secular employment, Lord, are weary. And nevertheless, Lord, they have been desirous to walk with God and make this day count as best they could for the Lord. And we praise thee for our Saviour. We rejoice in him who, Lord, to know whom is to have eternal life. And then, Lord, he is precious. And we pray, Lord, that we will put Christ first in everything, that we will honour him. He's the Son of God, as Paul said, who loved me and gave himself for me. We thank thee for the one who suffered and bled and died as our substitute. We rejoice, our Father, in our union with Christ and that relationship we have through the Mediator. We rejoice, O God, in one who is the Redeemer of God's elect, the Saviour of the world. We bow before thee and thank thee for his one offering, that great sacrifice at Calvary for sin. We praise thee, he has forever settled the old account. He has shed his crimson, ruby, royal and redeeming blood at Calvary. He has given his life a ransom price for many. We thank thee, O God, he came into the world to save sinners from their sins, and he shall save his people from their sins. And we rejoice, our Father, that he is a wonderful Saviour to us. He's thine only begotten and well-beloved Son, and in his name, on the merit of his imputed righteousness, on the ground of his finished work and shed blood, we are now acceptable before thee. We are justified, Lord, through faith in Christ, and we acknowledge the great salvation of our God. We bless thee for redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a privilege, Lord, to become the children of God, and we have a right to shout and sing, and we can say all that thrills my soul is the Lord Jesus. He is everything to me. And we ask, Lord, that he will be the chiefest of 10,000 to our souls. He will be the altogether lovely one. And that in a true sense, we may fall in love with him again. That we will rededicate, if necessary, every, Lord, living moment to the Saviour. That we might walk in his footsteps. That we might follow the Lamb. Wherever he goes, we might follow. We ask, Lord, we might obey his commandments. That we might show our love to him by obedience. Lord, we know that was the case when Samuel rebuked Saul. Hath the Lord great delight in sacrifice and burnt offering? To obey is better than sacrifice. And we ask, O God, you will be pleased, O God, to give us an obedient heart. Forgive us for our sins today. Cleanse us afresh as we gather around thy word and around thy footstool of mercy and throne of grace. And we pray for thy rich blessing to be upon us. Lord, fill us now with the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the Comforter, the third person of the Godhead, whom our Saviour said he will send, and he will reveal him, Christ, unto us, and he will teach us concerning Christ. He will glorify Christ, and we bless thee. The Holy Spirit will come and exalt the Saviour and will sanctify us and make us into the very image of thy dear Son. So to this end, grant to us that anointing, that infilling, that endowment of power from on high. Give to us the Lord infilling of thy Spirit with wisdom and with power. And Lord, we're not unmindful of the need of this hour. Hear our prayer. Comfort those who mourn, minister to those who are not well, and grant even as a church family, as a denomination, and many friends outside it, that we will pray one for the other, and we may encourage one another, and we pray that we may have, Lord, love one for the other, for by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Lord, be with us now in the prayer house. Bless Jason, we thank thee for him, for his wife Danielle, we thank thee for the boys, we pray, Lord, for Caleb and for Jonathan, for the work there in Mexico City. We commend, O God, this work to thee. We ask for thy rich blessing to be upon it. You promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Lord, we thank thee that you are building thy church. We thank thee for encouragements in the work there. And we pray, Lord, you will remember the need, how vast it is. And as that need is presented to us, Lord, in the deputation video, and then as thy servant comes to speak, we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be burdened even greater for the need of this work, and we will take it to the Lord in prayer, and we'll talk to thee about it, Lord. We'll spread it like Hezekiah before thee, and we know that you're a God who answers prayer. So continue with us now and do us good. We offer this our prayer in Jesus' precious and worthy name, and the people of God said, Amen. Well, we are delighted, and we welcome them on your behalf to have with us Jason and Danielle Boyle, and we're very thankful. I think the last time I heard Jason and Danielle was in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church many, many years ago. We do receive your email, your prayer letter, and it makes for very interesting reading, we have to say that, and it's a tremendous work you're doing. So we're going to ask you to come and introduce yourself and obviously tell us something about the work you're involved in. You're very welcome, Jason.
Thank you.
There was water. Here we go. You need a wee drink.
Well, it's a privilege to be here with you. As your minister mentioned, we were here, Danielle and I, almost 14 years ago. Not here, in Northern Ireland 14 years ago, visiting some churches as well. We were in Lisburn and some other churches before we went to Mexico, asking for prayer, what the Lord was going to do. And now we come back visiting the churches to report on what the Lord has done. I'm very thankful for the prayers of God's people and for the opportunity to be here and to meet you and to present the work. We'd like to give a video presentation first of the work so you can see with your own eyes and listen to what the Lord has done. And after that's over, I'll come back up and say a few words, emphasizing some points for prayer and also bring a short message from the Word of God. So let's watch the video now and see what the Lord is doing in Mexico City.
Jason and Danielle Boyle arrived in Mexico in July of 2010. Before starting their ministry, they studied Spanish at the local university. During this stage, the Lord in His providence brought some people together, and they were able to hold their first church service on January 1st, 2012, in their home. They started with 13 people and met in their home for 9 months. During that time, the Lord began to bless the church in an amazing way. People started coming. Some were saved, while others were thankful to have found a church with sound doctrine. In the first year, the Lord gave them a foundation to build on, a core group of people that were saved, that the Lord was sanctifying, and that was committed to the work of the church. After 9 months, they moved their meeting place to a rented garage with two additional rooms that were made into a kitchen and a children's room. They stayed in this location for almost 9 years. During those beginning years, they focused on teaching the people, almost all of whom were new Christians or Christians coming from churches with false doctrine. They focused on studying doctrine, worship, and church government. The Lord blessed and continued to teach the people, as well as bring in family members and others to be saved, baptized, and form part of the church. Around the time when the church moved its meeting place, they began Sunday school for adults and children. The Children's Sunday School is a 5-year program which has graduated 2 groups of children who are now young adults and adults in the church. Currently, they have a Sunday school for ages 2 through 10 with about 10 children, which they hope to split into 2 classes when there is space to allow for it. The church ran a vacation Bible school for 7 years, which was a great opportunity to connect with the community and establish a local presence in the neighborhood. The majority of the children in attendance throughout the years of VBS were from unbelieving families in the neighborhood, and some years there were up to 60 children. Over the years, the Lord continued to bless, and with its ups and downs, the church grew slowly and steadily. In February of 2017, just after the church's 5-year anniversary, the church was constituted, and Jason was ordained as the pastor. It was a time of much blessing and reflection on how the Lord had worked in the church and brought it to the point of constitution. It was a joyful and emotional service for all. The church welcomed 23 founding members that day and enjoyed the presence of representatives of the North American Presbytery. Since that time, the church has elected 5 deacons who are a tremendous blessing to their pastor and church. Even though in the years following the church went through some times of tribulation and difficulty, the Lord has sustained his work in his grace. Throughout the years, more than 25 people have been baptized, and members continue to be added to the church. The Lord has been very good, and the church currently has a regular attendance of 80 to 85 people. In July 2021, the church moved to a new location that continues to require much work to make it usable, but does provide the church with more space. In January 2022, the church celebrated its 10-year anniversary. A common theme recently among the new congregants who have come from previous churches is that of spiritual abuse at the hands of false teachers. Many people have had to unlearn some bizarre teachings and start from scratch, constructing their lives upon the solid Word of God. The Lord has graciously allowed many people to pass through the church's doors and make themselves a part of their church community. Each has their own story, which is precious to our Savior.
Mariana is a young lady of 17 who was far from the Lord in her early teenage years. She attended with her family, but was very rebellious and resistant to the Lord and His Word. During the pandemic, when she was 15, the Lord saved her after hearing the preaching of the Word one Sunday. From that point on, there was a remarkable change in her attitude and her desire to be in God's house and God's Word. She travels 2 hours each way in public transportation with her mom and brother every Sunday to attend church. When the Lord saved her, she began praying in the prayer meetings, and everybody was thrilled by the change in her life. Last year, in one of her public school classes, the teacher was assigning topics for a debate and asked the class if anyone was against homosexuality. Only Mariana raised her hand. So the teacher told her that she would take the side of the debate against homosexuality and that she, the teacher, would take the opposing side. Mariana began preparing for the debate and asked the church for prayers, and she was very nervous. The church prayed for God's grace, and the young people of the church set up a mock debate to help her prepare. The Lord gave much grace during the debate and answered prayer as well in giving Mariana opportunity to share the gospel. After the debate, the teacher asked if she would stay on after the class and then expressed to her that she had never heard anyone defend their position so clearly and asked her questions about the gospel. God gave Mariana grace to share the gospel with her teacher in that moment, as well as with another classmate who sought her out after the debate. We're so thankful for the Lord's work in her life and pray that she will continue to grow in Him. She helps in the children's Sunday school and hopes to be a Sunday school teacher one day. Angel is an 11-year-old boy that has been in the church since he was 3. His mother, who is a single mom, attended off and on in the early years of the church. Angel would throw a temper tantrum any time his mom tried to bring him to children's Sunday school, since he associated with his regular public school. After many months of this, Danielle was able to bring him into the Sunday school room and hold him while he cried. And eventually, for the first time, he began listening and participating. After the class, he very sweetly thanked Danielle for helping him to be in the class. Ever since that day, he has been a most attentive Sunday school student. However, there were still reports from his mom that he was very difficult at home and at school. During the pandemic, when he was 9 years old, Danielle encouraged him and the other children to continue on with their Bible readings and memorizing the children's catechism. Danielle got extra copies of the 8-book series that is used in the Sunday school program, so that she could lend each child a book, and when they would finish, they would trade it in for the next one. Angel excelled in this area, and as a byproduct, his mom has learned much basic Bible knowledge as well. She gave testimony that during the pandemic, something changed in Angel. It was a heart change that filtered down to all areas of his home life and school life. God, in His grace, reached down and used the truths and doctrines from the Bible reading and catechism to change this boy's heart. Even surprised Danielle over a Zoom call by memorizing the last chunk of the catechism questions way before schedule. Each family in the church has their own story, and we're thankful for the Lord's work in each one. Pray that the Lord will continue to bring His people into the church, and that they would receive the teaching and love that they need to grow in Him for His glory.
The Lord has given many opportunities for ministry within the church over the years. Besides Sunday school and VBS, for years the church has had men's and women's meetings. Even pre-pandemic, many would participate by listening to an audio recording of the meetings because the largeness of the city and the traffic made it impossible for them to come out to a meeting during the week. For 8 years, the church hosted a women's conference where women from sister churches in other states and other local churches would attend. For many years, the church had youth meetings as well. And in the Lord's grace, many young people continue to grow in the Lord and are committed to the local church. There is a great burden in the church for them, that the Lord would protect them and raise them up as leaders of the next generation for His name. There was an annual youth camp for 3 years that began in 2017 for the youth of the church and those of the sister churches in Mexico. As in any country, the young people are being attacked and influenced by the world. Pray that they will grow in their faith and that they would form friendships and relationships with other Christians their age. There are 5 deacons in the church who have been a great help in the last few years. They have taken on many responsibilities and have enjoyed their service to the local church. There is also a group of men that have met together as part of an elder training program. This is one of the local church's biggest needs, that the Lord would raise up men to come alongside Jason and serve as elders in the church. Some men who make up that group are coming along well, and we pray that in the near future the church would have the blessing of electing elders. One of those men who has studied for many years with Jason is Ruben, who is a 25-year-old deacon that has been in the church since almost the very beginning. The Lord saved him and has called him to the ministry. He has been studying for a few years and in 2021 began taking seminary courses. He is also translating some of the Geneva Reformed Seminary courses into Spanish and is doing some preaching in the church. Pray that the Lord would protect him and help him to grow spiritually so that one day he can go out and be used in the pastoral ministry. Pablo is another man who is called to the ministry and began his seminary work in GRS in the fall of 2022. He has a heart for the people and a desire to serve the Lord in the Free Presbyterian Church. Please pray for his preparations and as he begins to preach in the church. One of the things that the Lord has done over these 10 years in the church is something completely unexpected. He has opened the door for ministry, not just in the local church, but also with men and churches who have joined and want to be part of the Free Presbyterian denomination. Throughout these years, pastors and men have contacted Jason, wanting to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church. Over time, relationships have been established, both formal and informal. These relationships start out with visits to their churches to get to know them, and if there is continued interest, there are subsequent trips to encourage and teach on the FBC distinctives. Many contacts have been made and developed, and even today there continues to be new interest where contact and teaching is in the beginning stages. Lalo Peña is pastor of a church in Cordova, Veracruz, which is about 4.5 hours east of Mexico City. Jason met him through contact with another pastor in 2014 and has enjoyed fellowship with him since that time. In that same year, he came under care of the North American Presbytery and over the years took Geneva Reformed Seminary courses, which Jason proctors. He has been licensed by the presbytery and is preparing for ordination and the future constitution of his church. Lalo was pastor. In a large charismatic church, but came out of that movement when he learned the doctrines of grace and began a small Reformed church about 7 years ago. Pray for Lalo and his family and church that the Lord will bless with growth and allow many years serving him in Mexico. Ramon Sosa is pastor in the Dominican Republic who contacted Jason in 2016 with an interest in joining our denomination. He came under care of the presbytery that year and has recently finished his courses from Geneva Reformed Seminary and been licensed, and is preparing his church for constitution within our denomination and for his ordination, Lord willing. He is a 4-hour or so plane ride away, but Jason has been able to visit him 6 times. Praise the Lord for what he's doing even in other Latin American countries. Jair Aguilar is a young man that Jason met 8 years ago at a conference, and the friendship continued over the years, especially when he started a church 5 years ago in the state of Puebla. Jason has preached for them and taught on the doctrines of grace, Presbyterian church government, and free Presbyterian distinctives. They have come under the supervision of the Mexico City Church as a mission church, and Jair has begun his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. The Mexico City Church has a special link with this church in Tehuacan, as Melisette, a young lady from Mexico City who attended from the very first Sunday, was baptized in the church, became a beloved Sunday school teacher for the children, and was a founding member, married Jair in 2019. She is an English teacher and is currently helping by translating GRS seminary courses. Another man who has joined with Jason and the Mexico City work is Wenceslao, whom Jason met in the same conference years ago where he met Jair. He lives in Minnesota. In Jalpan de Serra, Querétaro, and is teaching his church the doctrines of grace and Presbyterian church government. He is continuing his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. Wenceslao's brother-in-law, Pepe, lives in Axla, San Luis Potosí, and is also striving to teach his church sound doctrine and what the denomination believes. Pepe is continuing his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. Together with these 5 men, Jason's desire is that the Lord would raise up a Mexican Free Presbyterian denomination with the desire to reach out to other Latin American countries as well. The pastors have begun meeting 2x a year for a week of prayer and to plan, and are seeking the Lord's guidance for wisdom and how to move forward. Another opportunity that opened up a couple of years ago is in Soconzotla, Puebla. Miguel is an indigenous preacher who is interested in learning sound doctrine and is looking for the Lord's leading. Juan, a pastor of a charismatic church in a village just 15 minutes away from Soconzotla, has also recently expressed an interest in learning Reformed doctrine and being taught. The native language in these villages is Totonaco, and so, although these men do speak Spanish, their education is more difficult. Sahai, a single lady from the Mexico City Church, moved to Soconzotla in 2021 and has begun to minister to the women and children there. A visit in March 2021 provided them with encouragement and teaching materials, and in the summer of 2022, the Mexico City Church sent an evangelistic team during a medical campaign. Pray for wisdom in regards to how the Lord would work in Soconzotla. These many opportunities are one of the most exciting things happening in the ministry in Mexico. The Boyles are focused on the local church and what the Lord is doing there, but he has also opened up these doors of opportunity in Mexico and Latin America for fellowship and for working together with sister churches. It has been a great blessing, especially in the area of fellowship, since the Mexico City Church is the first Free Presbyterian Church in Mexico and in all of Latin America. The work is separated from its sister churches in North America, Ulster, and Nepal by distance, culture, and language, but the Lord has brought fellowship with these more local brethren and their churches, which has been a great encouragement. The Mexico City Church serves as a hub of fellowship and teaching for these other churches. These opportunities in fellowship with these sister churches, along with the opportunities for church plants, show the great need for laborers. The Boyles are praising the Lord that there are a few men studying the seminary courses that Jason proctors, as well as a few more that have shown interest. In 2021, Jason began to teach seminary-type courses in Spanish, starting with a homiletics class, with 16 men from all over the country, and, Lord willing, will be continuing with biblical theology and other courses afterwards. Long term, there is a need for a seminary. That is beyond the scope of possibility currently, as there is simply not enough time and resources to develop it. Geneva Reformed Seminary courses are being translated for the men, and also some courses are being adapted as necessary according to the materials that are available in Spanish. Laborers and materials are needed to start a seminary in the future. This is the vision for the future of the work in Mexico. Pray for the Lord to raise up men to plant churches, both in the city and in other parts of Mexico, and that He will guide in the formation of a Mexican presbytery, a Mexican Free Presbyterian Church, so that His name is glorified. The Lord is doing a work in Mexico and in all of Latin America. People are hungry for sound doctrine, hungry for stable and solid biblical churches. Pray that the Lord would use the work in Mexico City to meet those needs. Pray that the Lord would first of all raise up men in the local church in Mexico City, that He would raise up elders for the work. But then also pray that the Lord would send men out to plant churches, that the formation of a Mexican presbytery would go smoothly with these men who have joined with the work and with others who have been in contact and are interested. The door is wide open, and the need is great. The church began by meeting in the Boyles' home. Then, after the first 9 months, they moved to the location where they met for the next 9 years. Thankfully, a year ago, they moved to a slightly bigger place that will accommodate their growing congregation. But they are still in need of a permanent place to meet, a place that will work for them long term as they grow and minister in Mexico City. Their current location has a roof that creates a greenhouse effect, and even with 8 or 9 fans going every Sunday, the heat causes a serious problem. The rainy season has also shown where the water leaks are more prominent. There has been water damage to some furniture, even though they cover all of the kitchen in large tarps at the end of every Sunday. Measures are taken to provide an extra layer of protection from the elements for the piano, sound equipment, and kitchen. During the week. During the last part of 2019, the Boyles began to look in earnest for a place to buy. The idea of owning a property in Mexico City always seemed beyond their resources, but in faith they decided to see what was available. They believe the Lord has led them to this property, which is located just about 1/3 mile from where they used to meet and about 1 mile from where they are currently meeting. And that's very important, because this is the area of the city where the Lord has called the church to be, and it's important to continue with a presence that has been established in the community. This property is not on the main street, which is helpful because of the noise level, and because sometimes the main streets get shut down for parades, causing problems on Sundays. But it is only a 3-minute walk away from the main street, which is perfect for people coming on public transport and still in a very visible place in the community. The property consists of 2 parts. Half of the land is empty and not built up at all, and the other half has 2 houses, one that could be used for a man's and the other a space for offices, midweek meeting rooms, and Sunday school rooms while they build on the empty lot. After a church building is constructed, the second house would serve to house pastors and their families that come for presbytery meetings and for mission teams. The opportunities this property gives are endless. The desire is to build a church building that can also be used for presbytery meetings, conferences, and a seminary, with a parking lot beside it, something that is much needed in one of the largest cities in the world. This property would not only meet the local congregation's growing needs, but also serve to help other churches, to be a hub and a help to their sister churches, and to be able to meet the needs of a Free Presbyterian denomination in Mexico in the near future. The property is over 2,000 square meters, which is over 20,000 square feet, or about a half an acre. It's hard to find property that size to build on in Mexico City, and especially in of the city where the church is located. The Boyles believe the Lord has led them there and that this is the property He has for them. So please pray that the Lord will provide, not only in regards to their need for a property, but for their local church and all the doors the Lord has opened there. Thank you for praying for them and for being a part of the work in Mexico. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118, verse 23.
Thank you for your attention. We're very thankful for what the Lord has done, for what the Lord continues to do in Mexico City. One of the things the video does not mention is that Mexico City is one of the largest cities in the world, with a metropolitan area of between 20 and 25 million people. There's under 2 million here in Northern Ireland, so you can only imagine what 10 times your population of the whole country in one city. It's a lot of people, there's a lot of need, a lot of opportunity as well for what the Lord is doing. We started with those 13 people in our house, and the Lord is blessed currently with an attendance of about 100 people. The Lord's brought in many families during the pandemic and afterwards, continues to bring in visitors and new families, unsaved people, as well as those who are looking for good Reformed doctrine. So we're very thankful for what He is doing. Just to emphasize, if you would especially pray for those two men who are studying for the ministry, for Ruben and Pablo, the Lord will work in their hearts. He will continue to help them as they study. They're studying in English, which is difficult for them, and we're praying the Lord will lead them in the future. They're both getting married in the next few months, and praying the Lord will guide them in their future ministries. As well, we, Lord willing, will have an elder election beginning of this coming year. It's something we've been praying for a long time, and as you saw in the video, preparing some men for that. We have three men who are candidates to be elders, to be ruling elders. So if you would pray for them, their names are Genaro and Oscar and Leo. And the church needs to take that step forward to have its own elders there in the church. We're very thankful for the men in North America who have been supervising us over these years, but we're looking forward to having our own elders there in the local church. And those sister churches that you saw, those men that we talked about a little bit in the video, it's a great blessing to have that fellowship, and the Lord is bringing people together. And we are asking for much prayer for a future presbytery there in Mexico. Lalo and Ramon. Lalo's the one in Cordova, and Ramon is in the Dominican Republic. In the video, they had been licensed just this past year. They were both ordained, and their church is constituted. I'm very thankful for that step forward, which has been encouraging for them and for their churches, as well as for all of the rest of us. And pray for open doors in other countries as well. We've gotten communications from people in the country of Colombia, Argentina, Guatemala, also interest in the Free Presbyterian Church. At the moment, there's not a whole lot we can do. There's not men to send out, but we stay in contact, hope to try to visit in the future, and we're thankful for the doors the Lord is opening, really, in all of Latin America. And, of course, for that land that you saw there at the end, for one of the biggest cities in the world, you can imagine how expensive land is. You can imagine how difficult it is to find a decent-sized piece of land to build a church on. But the church, well, it should not be renting for the long term. And the place that we're meeting, we're very thankful for, but it is a bit difficult at times in some practical ways. When we've come over here to Northern Ireland and we see the buildings that you have, we rejoice with you, very thankful for what you have, but also stirs up in us that desire, not necessarily for comfort in Mexico, but for something that can say, this is what the Lord has done, and bring people in to see what the Lord has done in that place. We do continue to send out a prayer update. If you're interested in receiving that, you can contact us or your minister so that you can continue to pray for us. We don't know when we'll be back here to Northern Ireland. It might be another 14 years, so if you can, we can stay in communication, I think that would be helpful. It's encouraging for us. Sometimes we have the ministers write to us, or other people write and say they're praying specifically, and it's also hopefully encouraging to you as well to get those reports and to know what the Lord is doing. We appreciate the support that we know that you will give us, and prayer support any other way as well, because it's the Lord's work that he's doing there in Mexico City, and we can all be involved. And I want to just take a few minutes before we go to prayer this evening to encourage us in that aspect from the book of Acts, the fact that we can all be involved and we should all be involved in the missionary work of the Lord. Acts chapter 13, we'll read the first few verses, then also over to chapter 14. Sometimes we can hear a missionary report, we can see a video presentation like this, and we can be stirred, we can be interested, and we can say, but what can I do? So I'm not going to go out there to Mexico. I probably won't visit. I'm not sure I'm called out to missions. How can I be involved? How can I participate in what the Lord has called us all to do? In Acts chapter 13, we read in the first few verses, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." First of all, we can see some principles here from these verses and also in chapter 14 that some Christians are involved in missionary work in their own local church. Now here we have the local church in the city of Antioch. We can see in verse 1 that there were various men ministering there, including Saul, Paul, and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas were called specifically by the Holy Spirit here in verse 2. As they ministered, as they were working, as they were serving the church, along with these other men, they were sent out. And it reminds us that the local church should be a place in which people are being prepared for ministry. Whether in a foreign field or here at home, the church should be involved in teaching, in preparing people to go forth and to spread the gospel. Church prepares missionaries. So missionaries aren't found someplace else. They're in the local church. They're prepared in the local church. They're serving in their own local church before the Lord calls them and sends them out someplace else. You can see here the church sent out their missionaries. They fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. The Holy Spirit called them. The church called them, and they were sent out to their work. And then as the church sent them out, they didn't forget them. The church remembered their missionaries, because if we look over in chapter 14, at the end of this missionary journey, Acts chapter 14, verse 21, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, into Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." We see that in verse 26 through 28. "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." So these missionaries came back. They went back to the local church that had sent them out. They rehearsed, they gave a report of what the Lord had done, here specifically among the Gentiles, which was a miracle in that time, what the Lord was doing, not just among the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. They didn't have a video presentation that time, but the principle is still the same. They came back to their church, they gave a report, and they stayed there for some time as well. They were comfortable enough to stay in that church, which tells me that church had not forgotten them. The church had continued to fast and pray for the missionaries as they were out. And that's something all of us can do. It's something everybody in the local church should do. but not just train, prepare, send out missionaries, but support them as well in so many different ways. Support them in prayer, support them financially, support them in whatever way possible. Not forget the people that we have sent out into these other cultures and other countries to serve the Lord. So some Christians are involved in the mission work of the Lord in their own local church. But of course, some people are involved in the missionary work of the Lord being sent out as missionaries. And here we have the example, of course, of Paul and Barnabas. Back to chapter 13 and verse 2. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So Paul and Barnabas went out. Apparently, these other men that we read of in verse 1 did not go out, at least not at that time. They stayed in their own local church, again, emphasizing people need to stay as well in the local church to support the missionaries who go out. But some also go. And Paul and Barnabas were ministering in the church at Antioch. They were serving there. They were being useful. I'm sure they were a great blessing to the church at Antioch with their gifts. But when the Holy Spirit called them, the church sent them out. It reminds us, going back again to the responsibility of the local church should be willing and ready to lose some of its members to the mission field. Young people, older people as well. And not just say everybody has to stay here, we need people in the local church as well. But a healthy local church is praying that the Lord will take men and women and young people from their own local church and send them out and go someplace else to serve him. But Paul and Barnabas went out, and we see what they did in verse 5 of Acts chapter 13. It says, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Missionaries go out to preach, to spread the gospel. Today, there's a bit of a movement just to go out for social issues, just to go out to feed the hungry and clothe the poor, and those things are important. Those things many times have their place in missionary work. But what is most important? The souls of men and women and young people and children. We can clothe their bodies and we can help them, but we need to preach the gospel to them. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did. They went out and they preached. In Acts chapter 14, going to verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples. They were discipling Christians, exhorting them to continue in the faith. It wasn't just preach the gospel, you're saved, and forget about you. They discipled them. They taught them. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. They ordained elders in every church. In verse 23, they were establishing strong local churches with leadership. All these things are what missionaries do. Go out into the foreign field, and preach, and share the gospel, and minister to the people, and exhort them, and teach them. And Lord willing, in his time, establish elders in the churches. And so everybody can be, everybody should be involved in the missionary work of the Lord. Either in the local church, preparing, sending out, supporting missionaries. Or don't avoid the possibility that the Lord could call you. The Lord could call you or your children or your grandchildren to go out and to serve the Lord someplace else. There's a great need, not just in Mexico City, although there's a great need in Mexico City, all over the world. There are places where the gospel has not yet been preached. There are places where a false gospel has been preached, and that's all people know. And whether in Canada or the United States or here in Northern Ireland, there's a great blessing that we have over centuries of the gospel being preached, and we can be complacent and sometimes unconsciously assume that the whole world is like that. The whole world is not like this. There are men and women, young people and children who need to hear the gospel. We pray the Lord would send out from all of our local churches more people to serve him in that way. What would God call you to do? How will you participate in the missionary work of the Lord? Because you should participate. You must participate in some way in your local church or going out. I ask that you would pray for us, but we'll also pray for you and all the churches here that the Lord will do his work in and through his churches all over this world. Amen.
Well, we'd just like to thank our brother very sincerely for a very inspirational and challenging video presentation of the work in Mexico City and also other places. Whenever you first went out, there was only a few people. I was actually thinking of asking you a question there, probably well now. Was there a work, people that you were going out to that first time? I can't remember, it's that long ago. It was over 14 years from you were here, obviously, for...
No, I had a contact with the missionary family there.
Yeah.
We attended that church at first, but we didn't, you know, take people from that church. There was a Reformed Baptist church that had me preach that first year while we were learning Spanish. And through some contacts in that church, we met the people who we did the Bible study with and started the church with them. So there was no one there when we went down to start with. The Lord brought the people in.
It's an amazing story. You know, it really is. It's like those early days in the Acts of the Apostles where Paul went out to the regions beyond that really hadn't got the gospel. And the Lord certainly has done wonderful things. You must be a very friendly man because you have made some friends. That's all I can say. And, Jason met this one, met that one. The contact's still there, the years. And then there's that interest as well. And I think it's very, very poignant, even to make this point, is that sound doctrine, so important. And I know that during our gospel mission in the tent, where a lot of Christians came from the extreme Pentecostal and the charismatic churches, and I was able to have conversation with them. And I brought it to the Lord because there's a lot of damage to Christians out there. And if they do start to attend any evangelical church, they really would need to go back to basics and back to good, sound doctrine. And that's what's lacking. They might have the practical side. They might have the gift of friendliness and hospitality. And they can make people feel welcome, that's for sure. But there's no sound doctrine, no good teaching. And we recognize listening to the things they said. And some of the things, friends, were horrific, absolutely horrific and horrendous, and how they were being governed and led in their lives by false teachers. And these people are looked upon as prophets. They're looked upon as apostles. That's the way. And in other words, they're looked upon as many gods and what they say and what they do. And there's one person in particular was telling me what her pastor was telling her and what he was doing in her life. And it was just... it was horrendous. And I thought, if she starts to attend here, you near need to start classes for young believers and teach them the basics of the relationship with the Lord and how to grow in grace. Sound doctrine. And we know in these last days, there's going to be itching ears. And they want to go and hear things that tickle the ear and basically encourage the flesh. But sound doctrine is something that's important. We need to be solid in what we believe and have the convictions. Great to hear about that young girl having the debate. I wonder how many of our young people, I'd say there's a few in Cumber, I can say that, will take their stand, won't be ashamed, and they're in this prayer meeting as well, some of those young people and others as well that aren't here, maybe watching in online, and they have taken their stand on those very issues, abortion, euthanasia and sodomy and many other moral issues. And certainly their teachers, they tend to, I thought it was unfair that the teacher and not some other student took on the young girl. That's one-sided. That was hoping that get the victory. But the young girl gave her best and it was a tremendous report. And obviously to see the young fella as well. And some teenagers rebellious and the gospel tames them. The wild man of the Gadarenes was found sitting clothed in his right mind at the feet of the master. And the gospel tames the wildest of sinners. Have you any questions for Jason? And Danielle, you're very welcome as well. Did you speak the last time you were in Lisburn, did you? No? Okay. So, do you allow women to speak then? No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. So, you have two children there, and they were adopted, I take it, from in Mexico City. So, and they don't have citizenship of Canada or United States then, no? Just Mexico
City.
As AI, so, and can you travel to the States back to your home church with the children? No,
not yet.
As I was thinking, yeah, but you're okay here then in Europe, although we're out of Europe now, we're a different country. But it's lovely to have you with us. They're staying in Coleraine, I think it is, with Trevor Wiley,
yes.
And he's driving, so he's driving on the wrong side of the road for him,
right.
Yeah. And I think you were a bit nervous, I did hear that, and we had been remembering you in prayer. So the roads here are a bit tight, you know, and the roundabouts, you work them okay? Yeah, that's good. So sometimes we can go round the wrong side. I was going to visit someone in Antrim Hospital or Korean Hospital, and I went round the wrong side of the roundabout. I don't know what I was thinking. And I met a taxi. And he just was just like a rabbit with his eyes caught in the headlights of a car. And he's going, "What are you doing?" I says, "I'm looking for Korean Hospital." And here's what he said, "And you're going the right way about it." That's a fact. And then he drove on. And then he asked me, "Oh, no, I'm on the wrong side of the roundabout." That's because I was so angry. "What do you mean I'm going the right way about it?" You know, but I realised now what he meant. And I was so embarrassed. But anyway, so if I can make the mistake, anybody can. Well, we trust that God will give you safety and travel as well, Jason and Danielle. And you have a lot of deputation meetings. You're here for 2.5 months. So this is only the second. I'm not sure about the glitch online tonight. I'm not sure. We did download it, but so you played it on Sunday night, did you, on Dromore? And was it the same? No?
No. Well, it's in
call
range so far.
Oh, it's okay. Well, if you want just to check it again, just in case we have ruined it. No, we downloaded it, Paul, didn't we? We're not actually taking it from the flash drive, but that's okay. Well, hopefully. You can blame Cumber on that one. Well, there is an offering. We will say that there's a great need in Mexico City. There's a great need. And he's deputising. I know his main interest is to raise awareness for prayer, and we understand that, but there is a financial need. And if you have come tonight and perhaps you've looked at your offering and you feel, well, it's a bit meagre, then you'd say, "I'd like to give some more." Well, you can do that, and we will assure you that every penny will go to the work in Mexico City and to keep God's servants on the mission field. So you can help in a practical way tonight financially and support in the deputation. I don't think, does anybody any questions you'd like? Yes, Robin?
Jason, you mentioned on the video that we should talk about different Christians coming from different backgrounds and different bodies, but I'm assuming in New Mexico City with 21 million, the main religion is Catholicism, and have you run into any difficulties or opposition with local Catholic churches?
No, because Mexico City is very, very progressive, very liberal, like most big cities. So where we are, there is a Roman Catholic, people with Roman Catholic background, but no, we haven't run into opposition like that. If you go out to the little towns and villages in the rest of Mexico, you'll face more of that, where the Roman Catholic Church still has a hold on people like that. But we haven't. It's mostly people from charismatic church or from different sects. Things like arranged marriages and just spiritual manipulation, people call themselves apostles and things like that. Mm. Much more of that than.
It must be quite a challenge whenever different churches who are not Free Presbyterian come to you and express an interest. I'm sure that can be an interesting journey.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I send them what we believe, and sometimes, that's it. Don't hear back from them again. Or sometimes there's more interest, and as you visit, either yes or no. But these men who are with us, they're firmly Free Presbyterian, all five of them. And the Lord has done a work in their hearts. They're teaching their churches. A couple of them, their churches were very independent Baptist, not Reformed at all. And it's taken some years for them to teach their churches, but they're coming along very well. And it's very encouraging to see what the Lord's doing in their lives.
So would it be evangelical then coming to you?
Yes, these men.
But maybe hyper-Calvinistic or?
No, the two of them would be, I don't know, independent Baptists would be here. Arminian, really. Arminian.
Obviously the opposite.
Independent, right. Very independent Baptist.
Yeah.
Lalo came out of the Charismatic Church, and then Jair was in the Reformed Baptist kind of circle before and left that as well. But all sorts of different backgrounds.
So any other questions?
Can I ask?
Yes, Janice.
No opposition, it's just the price. Uh-huh. That's really, because it's been for sale for quite a while now. Maybe we found it before the pandemic, so it's been 5 or 6 years for sale, so we can hopefully negotiate. Mm-hmm. We'd have to negotiate with something in hand first. But it's really hard to say, because someone could swoop in and buy it tomorrow as well. So I'm just asking for the Lord's leading with that.
Yes, it'd be a big undertaking financially, obviously, but Have you mastered the Spanish language then, Jason?
Thankfully, yes, the Lord's been good. When we came here almost 14 years ago, that was one of the biggest requests we had. And yeah, the Lord's been very good. I find it much more awkward to preach in English now. I don't preach in English. Once in a while, going back to our presbytery meetings and ask me to preach there, but otherwise...
Most of us find it awkward too, to preach in English.
Yeah.
Well, are you translating the Psalter into Spanish, no?
We're doing a Spanish Psalter, yes. So yeah. Mostly I'm writing myself.
So, the harmony then, how would you translate over? It's hard, is it? Well, how do you get your music for it?
No, basically I'm writing out the psalm itself in meter, mm-hmm. and then finding melodies that go with it.
Oh, so you're not carrying the melody, you're having to search for them then? So
Some of them I'm carrying over, some of them I'm searching for different.
Or make up yourself a melody, maybe?
I've done one.
Oh, just the one out of the 150, so you have 149 to go. But I'm not sure if the Trinitarian Bible Society or anybody like that could help, no?
There is a Spanish Psalter out from guy in Spain,
yeah.
But it's not really usable.
Right. You're not happy with it then? Any other questions? Then we'll get into a season of prayer. Yes, Lorna?
You don't appreciate that with your literature needs there. I was thinking, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard of that before?
No.
So,
oh, why? Every home crusade, it's really called Revival Association now, and it translates gospel literature and sends it out in bulk, free of charge, from Northern Ireland here. It was started by Ernie Allen many, many years ago, and was every home in Northern Ireland. And now it's stretched out to all the countries. So they translate any literature you need. They can send it over in bulk, tracts, gospel tracts, John's Gospels, Spanish Bibles, all.
I think they have a centre in Mexico. I'm not sure if it's in Mexico City.
Well, we can make that inquiry when you're here. And if you wanted a meeting with Samuel Adams, then we could set that up and bring you down to... Drumara, not too far from Drumore, where you were on Sunday night.
We translated Dr. Karen's book, the book of A New Beginning.
Oh, yes.
In Spanish, that's what we use mainly.
Yes.
But yeah, any help with that would be great.
Okay. Any other questions, folks? Happy enough? All right. Well, we'll get down to our season of prayer. We have our family night on...